The Catholic Channel, Sirius 159 and XM 117 presents A Conversation with the Archbishop from St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. Here's Archbishop Timothy Dolan and Father Dave Dwyer.
Praise be Jesus Christ. Archbishop Timothy Dolan here, everybody. It's good to have you with us. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you for joining us. I said, make sure you join us again next week, and you took me my word, so thank you. We're glad you're here. A little correction to that gracious introduction. Father Dave Dwyer, who's usually my sidekick on the conversation with the Archbishop here on Sirius 159 and XM 117, the Catholic Channel. Father Dwyer, a Paulist priest who we miss him, but he's on vacation and he deserves it. And if he's listening to us, Father Dave, we hope you're having a good time. We miss you. Hurry back. We will see you next Thursday. But we got great visitors today, folks. We're going to have a wonderful show. A lot going on here in New York. the summer seems to be winding down. Folks getting back to school. I know I was talking to my sister-in-law last night, and my two nieces and little nephew are getting ready to go back to school. So it's that time of the year, and we're glad you're with us. I'm going to get right to one of the major attractions of our show. I am delighted to have with us Father Jim Martin. I think most of you out there know Father Martin. He's well-known. He's got to be one of the best-known Catholic authors and speakers in the United States. Has written some really winners as books, and we're going to talk about them. Father Martin, thanks for being with us.
I'm honored to be here.
You're here. You're a New Yorker, right?
I am. Right around. Well, actually, originally Philadelphia, but I've been in New York for about 10 years.
You're a member of the Society of Jesus,
Jesuit.
Do you live at the America House? I forget.
I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought of you guys on the Feast of St. Ignatius Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, because you were so gracious last summer and invited me to be with you for that magnificent feast day. Couldn't be this year, but thanks for the thoughts. It's a good house. And that, so you were on, you're actually on the editorial staff for America Magazine.
Correct, for the last 10 years.
Which is the Jesuit Weekly, isn't it?
It is. We've been around since 1909. We're the National Catholic Weekly, published by the Jesuits and colleagues. And we encourage everybody to subscribe too.
I followed closely your celebration of America's 100th anniversary of this weekly Jesuit publication. You do great work in America. I am a faithful reader. And sometimes, you know, most of the time I'm nodding my head in agreement, saying what a great topic. Sometimes I have to go for Malox, but so what? I guess that's,
me too.
I guess that's stimulating reading. That means I'm taking it seriously and I'm chewing it over. Sometimes it causes indigestion. Sometimes
I need Malox when I'm editing some of the stuff.
I can imagine. But you help here at one of our great Jesuit parishes, St. Ignatius Loyola, correct?
I do, right.
Yeah, and that parish has got a sterling reputation.
Yeah, it does. It's very well known among New Yorkers for its great music, preaching, we hope. And they celebrated their 100th anniversary a few years ago, too. Spectacular church. And, you know, one of yours, of course.
Yeah. You know, and I've known you and admired you for a long time, Father Martin. I mean that. We'll get to some of your books. You and I think, came to shake hands and know one another during a pilgrimage to Lourdes,
exactly.
The beautiful shrine of Our Blessed Lady in southwestern France. I think, was it 2 years ago?
I think it was even longer.
Could have been.
Maybe.
I was not Archbishop of New York. I was still Archbishop of Milwaukee.
Right. So, and we met, I remember, at the Church of St. Bernadette in a wonderful mass with the malades, the sick. And
sure.
It's a wonderful place.
Do you try to go every year with the Knights of Malta?
I do. I was just there this year. And it's a beautiful place. I love just the sight of people coming together in faith.
It's incredible. Count me in.
Yeah.
Archbishop Timothy Dolan here with Father Jim Martin. We're on the Catholic Channel, Sirius 159 and XM 117. Yeah, you and I are great fans of Lourdes. I hope to make it an annual pilgrimage.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinal Egan tried his best. Mm-hmm. I know Cardinal O'Connor did to join with the Knights of Malta.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, what is that, the end of April, the beginning of May every
exactly.
year?
Exactly, yeah.
In fact, Father Martin, I was just on Sunday. I spent the day on Staten Island, which is a great part of the Archdiocese of New York. And I visited a young man by the name of Sean Thatcher.
Mm.
Sean, oh my, you should visit.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be worth
mm-hmm.
a book, believe mm-hmm. me. Sean must be about 20, 21. Last year, he had a swimming accident and is now confined to a wheelchair.
Mm.
Pretty much paralyzed from the shoulders down. What a remarkable man. You talk about faith. You talk about hope. A beautiful family that's rallied around. Anyway, I said to him as I'm leaving, Father Martin, I said, Sean, because he had some Lourdes water in his room. And I said, Sean, I see the Lord's water. And he says, yeah, some people have been so good in bringing it to me. And I said, would you be interested in going to Lourdes next year? So I'm going to mention him to the Knights of Malta, because they're always looking for they call them the malades, right, which is a gracious French word for our sick brothers and sisters who accompany us. That, Father Martin, that's a good lead in. Would I be correct as sort of an admirer and an observer to say one of the themes that animates your excellent writings? And I'm thinking of your Life with the Saints. I'm thinking of your new The Jesuit Guide, which we want to talk about. I'm picking up a theme that you believe with all your heart and soul that there's a passion, there's a heart to Catholic tradition, Catholic wisdom, Catholic piety, Catholic devotion that really needs to be recovered, and that can really speak to contemporary men and women who seem to be everywhere, not only Catholics, but men and women everywhere, on a real spiritual journey.
Yes.
And you're saying, you don't have to look far, folks. Go back up to Grandma's attic, open up the drawers, and you're going to find magnificent Catholic wisdom, heartwarming devotions that can satisfy this beautiful need. Am I onto something? Is that a theme that kind of animates what you do?
Yeah, that is a theme. That's very perceptive. Yeah, particularly the saints. And in terms of going up to Grandma's attic, when you take stuff out of her trunk and dust off these lives of the saints, people will find, especially young people, that they're not sort of dry, dusty tomes, but the saints' lives are very exciting. And our Catholic tradition is very exciting. And you're right, you don't have to look very far. You just have to look closely. Because I think what happens is people tend to denigrate Catholic tradition, Catholic piety, devotion to the saints is kind of old-fashioned. When if you sort of really get into it, you realize that it's alive and it's life-giving. So
sure,
I try to dust it off for people a bit.
Archbishop Timothy Dolan here on the Catholic Channel, Sirius 159 and XM 117, with Father James Martin, a renowned Jesuit author and speaker. Father, that I picked that up, and I love the book on the saints.
Thank you.
Bravo. That was, what, 4 years ago, maybe?
Exactly.
What's it called again, the full
my
name?
My Life with the Saints.
Yeah. You seem to hammer home the fact that it's not that the saints are otherworldly. It's that they are so worldly in the best sense of the word. They speak to us now. They were genuine flesh and blood human beings who continue the incarnation of God becoming part of us, flesh and blood, right now. And, folks, they speak to us. Who were some of your favorites that stood out there?
Well, some of my favorites are Thérèse of Lisieux.
Ah, yeah.
She's fantastic, the 19th century French
Carmelite. Sure.
And I think a lot of people can relate to Thérèse because, for people who don't know her, she pioneered what's called the little way. So
you
doing
bet.
Doing small things with great love for God. And, here's someone who, lived a regular life. I mean, she suffered, she struggled, and people who in their everyday lives, say, well, gee, what can I do for God that's great? I can't found a religious order. But you can do small things with love in your family, in your church, at work. And that's Thérèse. I love her. I love the other one is Blessed John the 23rd.
There you go. I like him, too, because he was somewhat hefty.
Well, you have something in common with John the 23rd. I think both of you are my avatars for what I call holy humor, too.
Oh,
He was a great wit, and so I look to him for an example of someone who can be holy and have a lighthearted view of life, because people tend to think, unfortunately, and I think falsely, that the saints were these kind of dour, gloomy, sourpusses, which they weren't. They were very lighthearted, particularly John the 23rd.
You bet. I love him, too. I have a statue of him in my room, and now I can move him into my chapel because he's a blessed John the 23rd. You've got to – now, keep on this talking about devotion. Because one of your earlier books was Awake My Soul, Contemporary Catholics on Traditional Devotions. And they discovered that too, right? And things like the Rosary and our litanies and our novenas, we can uncover a very gospel approach to prayer, correct?
Yeah, and all of our devotions are really rooted in the Gospels because they're all rooted in Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. And what I try to do in this book is talk about some of those things, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, as you said, the Rosary, the Sacred Heart, and say, what do they have to say? These things that people think are quote-unquote old-fashioned, what do they have to say to us today? And the writers discover that, because they're motivated by God's grace, they have a lot to say to us. I mean, the Sacred Heart is all about love. I have a guy in the book that talks about being a father and loving his kids. the rosary is all about the example of Mary. Someone described it, which I thought was very beautiful, as Mary's photo album. When you go through the rosary, it's like looking at Mary's life with her photo.
Here we
album.
Are at Cana.
Exactly.
Here
that's
are,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh.
Here he is at the Last
that's
Supper.
Right.
Sure.
So trying to sort of reinvigorate traditional Catholicism for a contemporary audience, I think, is really exciting for me. And it's easy because, you know, once you introduce people to the stuff, they get turned on, you know, so it's
I
an
like
easy
it.
Sell.
I like it.
You know?
Help me with this, Father, because you're also part of your appeal is you yourself are very contemporary. I mean, nobody is ever going to accuse you of being some retrograde trying to return to the church of golden days. You're wise enough to know there were really never golden
right,
any golden
right.
era in the church. Sometimes I hear my brother priests, some of my good friends say, "Oh, I'm a little worried about like this. There's these new devotions creeping into the
yeah.
church, like Divine Mercy, Eucharistic right. Adoration." They almost see them as inimical to the genuine renewal of the Second Vatican Council. You don't look at them that way, I take it.
No, I think there's two extremes. The one extreme would be to say my devotions and my devotion to the saints replaces the Mass, for example,
uh-huh.
you know, which you would never want to do.
Right.
You know, I people say to me, "Well, I don't need to go to Mass because I have the Rosary." That's the
yeah,
that's
silly.
Extreme. Right.
Yeah.
The other extreme is to say these are useless. And after Vatican II, we don't need the saints, we don't need devotions. And that's silly, too, because you're ignoring a great avenue for prayer and you're ignoring a great tradition of the church. So I try to take a center view, which is to say the Mass is still the source and summit of our life. And
the
yet,
Bible. The
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the two great traditions, you know, scripture and tradition. And devotions don't have to supplant all of those things, but devotions can really supplement them.
Sure.
And you know, Christ and the Church in their wisdom have given us the saints and have given us these devotions, so why not make use of them?
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
And particularly the saints. I mean, the saints are our patrons and companions, and why would you not want to avail yourself of these great inspirational models and also pray to them as well?
Sure.
So I try to steer a middle course, and I do hear what you're saying frequently, which is, we need to either toss them out or people are getting too obsessed with them. And so you steer a middle, you know, the sort of via media, basically.
Sure. Isn't it part, Father Martin, of the fact that in our Catholic chemistry, the Church has a heart. We appeal to all the senses. I was just, when I was on vacation down at the Jersey Shore, I went and got my hair cut. And there was, so the barber was this great Italian man, and his daughter was there with the little boy, and they, so we just started talking. They knew I was a priest. And the daughter was saying, we got sort of a sadness in our family because my brother has left the Catholic Church and has become an evangelical. And she said, "I really admire their fervor and their dependence mm-hmm. upon the gospel, the power of prayer." But she said, "I've gone with him a couple times, and I still keep coming back to my Catholic parish." She said, "Because when I walk into that Catholic Church, when I'm at my parish, we have a heart." And she said, "I feel at home. And Mary is there, and the saints are there, and the candles are there, and my friends are there, and prayer is there, and bread and wine are there." And I thought, not bad for mm-hmm. a Catholic sensitivity.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I would. And I think I would also add that, you know, for someone like that, it's like coming back to her family,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do we have all of these wonderful parts of the Catholic culture that draw us in, as you were saying, in a visual way, in a very sort of real way, beyond
mm-hmm.
just the word, you know, which is important. We have this sense of family and tradition. And for example, you know, we're talking about the saints. They're part of our family. They're our ancestors as
we
well.
We use the fancy term the communion of
exactly.
saints, but that just means our family,
exactly.
our older brothers and sisters.
And
our
also,
friends.
If you look at family traditions, if you think about going back for Thanksgiving at a family, you know, we have stuffing, we have this, we have grace, we sing this song. You know, our devotional life is sort of our family tradition, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
why not avail ourselves of that? And as people know, when they go back home, they sort of feel this warm sense of belonging. And that's sometimes what happens when people reconnect with these traditional devotions. There's something in it that calls to our sense of at-homeness with Catholicism. So
yeah.
I think it's, as you say, I think the idea of sort of dusting them off is really important for
yeah.
people.
Two things you write about a lot are particularly close to us here in New York, but now they've become close throughout the United States and throughout the Church Universal. One is you have a great attachment to Thomas Merton.
I do, yeah.
And secondly, you've written eloquently on Ground Zero.
Mm.
Could you talk just a little bit about both of those?
Sure. Well, Martin, for people that don't know, was a 20th century Trappist monk, and he really changed. I would say that the four people that are responsible for changing my life are the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and Thomas Merton.
Uh-huh.
I read his book, The Seven Story Mountain, when I was a young executive here in New York City, and it really changed my life. And I think Merton, his spirituality of finding
and
God.
He himself was a convert to Catholicism.
Exactly.
Up at, when he was a student at Columbia.
Right.
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 And was it Corpus Christi
Corpus
Church?
Corpus Christi. Yeah. Right. Got mm-hmm. baptized there. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I like Merton's writings. I love his journals. I think, you know, he was not a perfect person by any stretch of the imagination. And I think when you look at Thomas Merton, you see someone who was really struggling to be holy in the midst of a quite difficult and sometimes sinful life. And mm-hmm. I think you can stand back and say, here's someone who struggled and who fell down and who sinned occasionally and, you know, was arrogant and can kind of be impatient. But who was holy. And I like to think that that may be the way that God looks at us.
Mm.
God can stand back and say, here's a person in all of their complexity who's
like
struggling
that.
But is holy. And the way I think we look at Merton is maybe the way that God looks at us.
I like that.
Yeah.
Archbishop Timothy Dolan here speaking with Father Jim Martin on this conversation with the Archbishop. And then the other thing, Father, you've written well about is it's called Searching for God at Ground Zero. Mm. Tell us what, because we got the September 11th
yeah.
anniversary coming up again.
Well, I was here on 9/11, and after the first night, I went to Chelsea Piers to help out, and there were no survivors. And then the next day, I went to St. Vincent's to help out. And then the third day, I ended up being taken to Ground Zero by a policeman, and I worked there for a couple weeks with the firefighters and the rescue workers. And I have to say, I say this in the book, and it might seem strange to people who only know 9/11 as a terrible tragedy, but my experience at Ground Zero was really the most profound experience of the Holy Spirit I've ever had.
My, oh my.
Well, I saw, it's very hard to describe, but I saw everyone working together. I saw this great sense of love and concord and amity, in a sense, and I'd never experienced anything like it. And so my experience of Ground Zero was sort of an Easter Sunday experience,
mm-hmm.
kind of a resurrection, seeing people's goodness and love. So I wrote about that in the book, and it was a very moving time for me, and I wanted to communicate something of what I found there, which was God, basically.
Yeah, we started off our conversation, Archbishop Dolan here, on a conversation with the Archbishop, with Father Jim Martin, a renowned Jesuit author and speaker here on the Catholic Channel, Sirius 159 and XM 117. We started our conversation about Lourdes. I have heard the Ground Zero site referred to as the American Lourdes, insofar as people bring their tears there. It represents a lot of pain and suffering. Are they onto something?
They are. And, you know, it's a pilgrimage site. And
mm-hmm.
I think people instinctively see it as a holy site. And, you know, for those of us who work there, it was also a site, as I said, of resurrection. You know, I celebrated Mass there a few days after.
Really?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
In the midst of the rubble. And I remember
families would have been there waiting for news, the rescue workers, firemen.
Mostly rescue workers. But I'll tell you a very interesting story very briefly. They had heard me giving out communion, and they heard me saying, the body of Christ, the body of Christ, the body of Christ. And someone put up a big sign with an arrow. You know, they had all these signs that say, like, eyewash station and rescue workers. And someone put up a huge sign that said, body of Christ, with a big arrow. Yeah, and I thought,
wow.
You know, this is the body of Christ here, you know, not only the Eucharist, but, you know, broken here at Ground Zero. You know, all of us here
yeah.
and trying to
wow.
be. It was very
the
moving.
Broken, mystical body wow. of Christ there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All of us working together.
Yeah, this is a Catholic Channel, Sirius 159, XM 117 on satellite radio. Archbishop Timothy Dolan here with Father Jim Martin. All right. All this has been great antipasto, Father Jim. You got a new one out, the Jesuit Guide. I'm eager to hear about it. Have not read it yet. You're kind enough to have. I have a copy at home. You're kind enough to have carried with you another copy. Tell us a bit about that. Now you're really getting out because you're a Jesuit. You're a believer. You're a priest. You're a Jesuit. Tell us what this is all about.
Well, it's an introduction to the spirituality of St. Ignatius Loyola, who was mm-hmm. the founder of the Jesuits. And Jesuit spirituality, which some people think is just for Jesuits, but it's not, can really be summed up in the ideal of finding God in all things.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I try to do with the book is to introduce this way, this Ignatian way, to everyday believers. So I talk about things like finding God in your life, finding God through suffering, finding God in your vocation. How do you pray? How do you live simply? I look at the three vows, poverty, chastity, and obedience. I look at the ways that they can be freeing for people. Poverty frees you up to live simply. Chastity frees you up to love many people. Obedience frees you up to sort of surrender yourself to God's future. So it's basically, you know, introducing this Ignatian way, which some people may know the Jesuits from their schools, Boston College, Georgetown, Fordham, and inviting them into this kind of life-giving, everyday spirituality. So that's what I try to do in the book.
And I would presume you spend quite a bit of time on the exercise, the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. Tell the folks what that's about.
Sure. Well, the exercises are basically a four-week plan for prayer that St. Ignatius mapped out for retreatants. And some people do it for 30 days all at once in a retreat house. Other people do it in their daily life. And it's basically, if you think about it this way, it's imagining yourself accompanying Jesus through his life, death, and resurrection. So Ignatius asks you to imagine yourself in the scripture scenes in prayer. And when that happens, people find themselves drawn to Jesus in a new way. Emotions, insights, desires, memories come up. And when you imagine yourself in those scripture scenes, and, you know, we trust that God's working through our imagination, you draw closer to Christ. And it's an accompaniment of Christ through his life. And by the end, people are really feeling closer companionship and closer friendship with Christ. So I try to break that open for the reader chapter by chapter. And that's really the great gift of Ignatius Loyola to the church. It's these spiritual exercises, which have helped so many people not only draw closer to Christ, but sort of free themselves from what he would call disordered attachments, anything that keeps us from God.
Sure. I just counted now in the last 2 minutes, you used the word imagination four times, which does not surprise me at all because you're steeped in the tradition of St. Ignatius. I've never made a 30-day retreat. I have made a number of 8-day retreats, which I think would be more bite-sized pieces of the Ignatian spiritual exercises. And the first Jesuit that directed me on the 8-day exercises, spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius Loyola, talked about imagination all the time. Yeah. And he said, St. Ignatius would encourage you to let your imagination run wild when you're thinking about Jesus and his mother and the saints, and especially when you turn to the gospel. And when you get into a gospel passage, imagine you're there.
Right.
Use your imagination. Insert yourself in the scene. What would you hear? What would you say to Jesus?
Exactly.
Where would you be? Would you be standing? And wow, what a rich, colorful, powerful way to prayer. Do you talk about that?
I do. And I talk about my initial reluctance to do that because someone told me that.
I did too. I was kind of embarrassed.
Well, you know, I said to my spiritual director, I said, so what does this mean? Anything in my mind is Jesus? And he said, do you think God, this was a very revelatory question for me. He said, do you think God can work through your experiences and your personal relationships? I said, sure. How about through the Mass? Absolutely. How about through Scripture? Absolutely. How about through nature, art, music? Absolutely. Well, then why not through your imagination? And I thought, of course.
Sure.
And you're right. When you open yourself up to that, and God's going to help us with that. God's going to work through that imagination. It's a gift from God. But when you sort of imagine yourself, as one writer says, who I quote, standing knee deep in the Jordan River with Jesus, it's different than just reading or even hearing the scriptures proclaimed.
Yeah.
It's what was your experience like?
Can I share it?
Please
one
do,
with
yeah.
And that, by the way, is why I presume you love literature, poetry, art.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's the baptism of the imagination, right?
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Let me share you my experience.
Yeah,
I was reluctant too. So my Jesuit spiritual director says, Timothy, let your imagination run wild. And the first gospel passage he tells me to meditate upon is the birth of Jesus, the first Christmas. So sure enough, I do for an hour. You talk about letting imagination run away with me. And I had a powerful experience. And I was embarrassed to share it with him. Because it was so he kept prodding. He said, well, what did you do? And I said, well, I was there at the crib. Well, did you talk to Mary? I said, yes. Did you talk to Joseph? Yes. Did you imagine the shepherds? Yes. But the animals? Yeah. The star? Yes. And he kept prodding because he knew there was something that I wasn't saying. And I was a little reluctant to.
Good director.
Yeah, I was a little reluctant to because it seemed to be so simple and almost goofy. And he finally said to me, didn't you pick up the baby? Didn't you pick up the baby Jesus and hold him close to you and hug the baby Jesus and kiss the baby Jesus and coo at the baby Jesus? And Father Martin, I had. But I was embarrassed to say it because it just seemed so too simple, too childlike.
Right.
And I thought, wow, this is what St. Ignatius Loyola meant about the power of imagination and prayer. I haven't even read your book, and look at this. I might be a future chapter now.
You're in my new book, by the way.
Oh,
you
wow,
are.
Okay.
But, you know, what a gift that God gives you in that experience and can give us through your imagination, you know? And I would imagine that, you know, the next time you read that, or the next time you read that passage, it was different for you.
Oh, you're telling me. And I can't go through Christmas without picking up the baby Jesus.
So for people who are afraid of that kind of prayer, and your experience is very common about being afraid of telling.
Yeah.
Because it seems embarrassing and odd, you know.
Sure.
And also, I mean, and even, you know, us as priests, who am I to think that Ignatius would say, the creator could deal directly with the creature?
See?
Because there's God dealing directly with you, one-on-one, you know, through your imagination. And that, for a lot of people, can be frightening in a sense. There's not only embarrassment, but fear. What is this going to mean?
Intimidating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and what's going to happen if I really admit to myself that this is God kind of working through my
imagination?
And
there's a little fear there, because when you do that, when you fall in love, dangerous things can happen.
Absolutely.
Right? It kind of makes us uncomfortable.
Well,
so.
And also people, if I can say, people have the experience frequently, and I talk about this in my book, of fearing that what's God going to do with me now?
Yeah.
And I have to say to them, well, what's your image of God? Is God this kind of evil trickster that's going to kind of lure you, you know, into some, you know, religious life and then, you know, sort of like jump out and do something bad? No, it's the God of Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you. You know, God is always, you know, wanting the best for us. And so that's part of overcoming the fear as well.
Well, folks, I told you Father Jim Martin would be an excellent speaker, and he didn't let us down. Thanks, Father Jim Martin. This is Archbishop Dolan. We're here on the Catholic Channel, Sirius 159 and 117, a conversation with the Archbishop. And my guest these last 25 minutes has been Father Jim Martin, a Jesuit here in New York, written exceptional books. His newest is The Jesuit Guide to Almost Everything. He was well known for his work on the saints, and we talked about his Searching for God at Ground Zero and his Awake My Soul. Well done, Father. Please keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And thank you for what you do, and I sure hope you'll come back.
I hope so. It's been my pleasure and my honor.
All right. Let's break for a minute. Stick with us, folks.